thing. No title again?
And I did only be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Here we go. Okay. I thought I'd do this. This is going to be another camping trip podcast. But I thought I'd start it in the driveway just before I head off. It's just going to be about 11:15 by the time I actually back out. Haven't got the iPhone map set up for the destination, but I know it's about 3 hours and I know the route. You can't miss it. I'm going to do 401 up 35 to Highway 7 and 7 all the way along to Charbet Lake. And later on this afternoon, Mr. Francis Wooby will be dropping by, bald head and all. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, there's a procedure, you know, right down to the last thing I do is lock the house, open the black Swiss Army bag that I carry all the time, my essential main purse bag, and drop the keys in a zippered pocket. Because I don't want the keys, the house keys, bugging me all weekend when I'm camping. I don't want to lose them, but I want to know where they are when I go. And that's just an example of the details you take care of. I've got the cooler beside me, complete with some of these Pelasangrios. Is it Pelasangrio? What are they? Close! San Pellegrinos. I talked about those when I was in Ottawa, all excited, because I love them, and it turns out my son loves them too, so we're sharing a six-pack of San Pellegrinos. Number two son is still working, which is great. And, sorry, I messed with the cooler here. And, off, up early and off to work and enjoying it. That's good news. And that's it. I got my thermos of coffee. I've got pretty well everything ready to go. And I just have to back up, straighten the van out so that I can back out center. If you remember years ago, when I backed out over a curb and damaged the drainage system. And that wasn't good. That cost me a fair amount of money just to replace pipes. I'm much more comfortable driving this big baby now, Sal. There we go. And I look forward to being on the road. So that's it. I just wanted to give a start to put this in context, and maybe I'll even give a conclusion when I get back. So this is the Scarborough Dude on his fall camping series. This will be park number 3 today and park number 4 tomorrow. So stay tuned. There's lots more coming your way. Bye for now.
That is the sound of a Baldwin Street fisheye. Oops, sorry. Going down. I mentioned earlier, I think I did, or I don't know. I bought so many damn cans of beer because I wanted to actually taste each one and make something of the flavor. And so far I've done that. I had a very nice IPA called In Your Face that I shared with my good friend Francis Wooby, who came out. He lives very close to here. This would be I'm actually on Black Lake, but it's part of the Charbert Lake Provincial Park, just off Highway 7. So very soon you're going to hear a truck going by or other vehicles. Very, very close to the road here. Across the street I parked. I camped there once, too, in a tent at Silver Lake. And these are two highway parks. So, not the best in terms of nature and outdoors. But it's quite beautiful. Now, I had pre-registered and I arrived. The signage is terrible. Could not find my site. And when I finally did find it, in all the years I've gone camping, I have never seen a spot as bad as that one. So, of course, I went straight back to the register, you know, the office, and said politely, "This is the worst camping spot I've ever seen. What else you got?" She circled them all. And I drove around and I picked this one, number 44, which is directly opposite the lake. You just cross a little road here. Excuse me. And it's quite nice. And I arrived, I guess, around 3:30. And Francis showed up shortly after, and we had a beer, and then some of that beer, and now I'm on my third and probably my last for the night. Very, very good talk. I like this gentleman a great deal. He's studying. He's getting a Bachelor of Social Work now. He's changing his careers, his life path, and we talked a lot about that. And it was just very, very enjoyable. Very sincere, real conversation, caring conversation by two people who like to listen to each other. That's a truck. I'll be fine. I'll be in the road truck and I'll put on music if I have to. I've just now made the bed. I really realized, wow, I better get that done because I don't know whether it's the effect of the medication I'm on, my age, the dark, the few beer I've had, the empty stomach I, you know, arrived on. But I do get a little stumbly sometimes, and you sure don't want to have an accident when you're camping. Francis was kind enough to bring up a load of wood, so I've had a very good fire going. And then finally he realized, I realized, I got to eat. So a couple of short snacks, and then got out two lamb chops that I had already salt and peppered back at home. Put them on that new grill I talked about last week. And just sat it on top of the grill for this fire and flipped it here and there. And flipped it once, it landed in the dirt. And of course, I thought, well, that's camping. You just don't notice those things when you eat in the dark. And it was very, very tasty. Some parts a little cooked, crunchy almost, but delicious and just hit the spot. That's all I needed. And just very simply done, you know? What was the focus of the day? What was the point? Get here, get set up, get a nice spot, wait for your friend, and then just enjoy a good conversation. And that's exactly what we did. And then get out the little lantern candle I bought a while back, which has the stuff, you know, whatever it is that's supposed to make mosquitoes stay away, because there are a few mosquitoes out. Something oil. Forget it. Anyway, I have the feeling there's not much in me that I need to get out right now. It was a satisfying conversation, and we talked a bit about the road trek and kind of its purpose, and one of them is for me to just connect with people, and that's what I'm doing here, and then tomorrow night it'll be an entirely different experience with different people. So I think I'm going to shut it down, and I may or may not light up a little bit of a roach that's left. Probably I will. And if I do, you may hear from me again. And if not, I'll talk tomorrow over coffee. Bye for now. Damn it. I talked for a good 3 minutes anyway, and none of it got recorded. Forgot to push the button. That is a clue right there. Anyway, I was listening for a couple of talks to the last podcast, the one I put out before this one. And towards the end, I heard myself say, those looters should be shot on sight, something to that effect. And I would like to take that back, publicly apologize. This is not how I feel, not what I think, not what I want. Seems very, very harsh. I was trying to make a pitch for re-education camps of some kind. And, of course, coming to the root cause, poverty encourages people to do that kind of thing. Okay. Anyway, it shocked me, and I thought, oh my God, what are people going to think of me? I'm some kind of, you know, fascist, white redneck. Could there be any other kind? Anyway, I enjoyed the podcast overall. I really did. And except for these segments, you know, when I get a little high and lose the thread, I'm proud of it. And when I listened, I actually came to a point, I came to a conclusion that this is my story. This is the thing that I keep telling myself I have to do. And I keep trying to put it in this book form, this writing form, this thing. But this just is. I just happen to be very long-winded, and it's very hard to actually get out the real elements of things I'd really like to share or that are worth sharing. And instead, you often get a lot of blather. But still, there's a part of me that thinks somewhere down the line, somebody might want to listen to this in its entirety, over a course of time, of course, you know. And if so, if this happens in the future after I'm gone, I'd like to make an arrangement now to get the payment now in advance while I'm still living. And I could still do with money. And then, of course, all the other voices pipe up. The illegal music I play and my argument. This is just me in a very tight, small circle of friends, just sharing some music. I burned the sole of my shoe. Now it's really uncomfortable. These were really comfortable, and I thought, I don't need another pair of shoes. I've got my ones, the running shoes I wear with the plastic leg brace. And then these little imitation clogs or whatever they were, those things with all the holes in them. But I had both my feet pointed towards the fire, and of course the hot metal grate, even when there's not much flame, the grate is getting a lot of heat, and now it feels really all warped and uncomfortable. It's very annoying. Unless I burn my sock too, I don't know. Anyway, such is life around the campfire. I'm just putting an end to the night. We're just down to flickering flames and coals. It's been very pleasant. I've got the candle, the citronella, the word I couldn't think of before, beside me. It served me well. I never did get up and get another beer. I just simply didn't need one, which is good. And, yeah. I wanted to reach that conclusion. I wanted to get to the point to say, no, this is it. This is it. And, it's a frightening thing to say, because this kind of it's not a paranoia, it's not an anxiety, but it's something. There's definitely an inferiority. Here it is. I'm unnecessarily often trying to measure the Dixon Chains podcast. The fact is, it is what it is. I happen to like it. I am doing the best I absolutely can. I can't do anything other than what I'm doing. Period. This is me. And part of me feels really good about that and really proud of that and figure that's deserving of respect. You know, earlier on, always after a talk, I had to tell Margaret Atwood, hey, you can get some money from me. This is real. This is art. You know. But there's always this, the measurement. No. Not that art has to be of a certain standard, but people have to be of a certain standard, and you just aren't. You're just simply not good enough. And it's rather annoying. But basically, I'm just spilling out my real life, and I think that's a worthy undertaking. And by this is it, I'm meaning there isn't this necessity to go back and write a book and to labor yourself with that. I have enjoyed very much, just on this drive alone, the time for reflections of old memories that come back out of the blue, I don't know, long since, not unremembered, but just, in storage. And suddenly you're remembering some of the things I daren't share. Talked about that, though. Francis is saying, you could tell some of those crazy sex stories I often allude to from the 70s. I'm just not comfortable talking about sex on this podcast, or my personal sex life, there are some good stories. I did once tell, and there was a recording of it. It happened in at PodCamp. Well, no, I'm not going to give any more away because I don't want that ever found. But I did, hold an audience describing, the best blowjob I ever had, but I'm not about to do that here. And now, it's nice, it's very quiet. I'm so glad I picked this spot, number 44, because it is, I see this washroom within easy walking distance, but it's clean, it's nice, and convenient, of course, but it's very quiet. Don't hear a word from any other campers. I think I'm probably the only one up here, in this end anyway. So it's spread out along this narrow strip, but it's, at first I thought I'd never come back here, but I might. It's convenient enough. It's just, you're by the highway. There are other places to see, But certainly, to visit Francis, that was the prime aim, and I'm glad we did that. It was a very good talk about personal growth and development and life and all those kind of things that I feel. See, that's another thing I feel good about, too. Okay, that's one of my roles. I do talk with people, listen to people, talk to them. Oh, fuck, I got one goddamn fucking mosquito. What the fuck are you doing here? They're not supposed to be around at all now. Especially with my citronella right here. Anyway, I'm going to go to bed soon. Let these coals just flicker down until there's nothing. I never pour water on a fire. I don't want to do that. There's no threat of this going anywhere. But finally, I had to put on a shirt. I was just in a t-shirt before then. Yeah, it's the luxury of the time for reflection. Now, having a toke does throw you off a little bit. It can add layers of confusion. It can have you questioning a lot. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I suppose I'm talking nonsense now, but it's the me now. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. But I would like very much to believe that this is all I have to do. All I have to do is addiction. I don't have to do anything else. Take that particular monkey off my back. I am telling my story. That's what this is. Just in a very roundabout way. It was very nice of Michelle Sullivan to post a comment today telling somebody else, a stranger who wanted to start a podcast, to listen to Ken Bowles' Dixon Jane's podcast. I was very honored. And then Dave put a comment in the same thread and said that, as Dave Broadbeck, Dr. Dave, that he does one with Isabel just the two of them talking, conversation about anything, which in their case is they go shopping. It leads to just whatever conversation, which is exactly that. But mentioned to me the fact that it was quite commendable that I could go on and put an hour every week like this. But the truth is, it would be hard not to. It's a nice way of measuring life, too, an hour a week. Well, 7 days, roughly. You gotta spend each day, but you wanna spend it wisely. You know, if you're gonna, whatever you're gonna be doing, try and do it so that you're gonna enjoy it, or it's gonna mean something, it's gonna be satisfying. If you have that luxury. I never escape the thought of others' pain and suffering, lack of freedom, those who are at somebody's mercy. It just never goes away. Because it's there, it's real, and it's out there. It's happening. People are suffering. And I don't know what the connection is between me and them. Maybe that's what Greta meant. Put yourself in that story. See, you have to see yourself in the story. Yeah, you can take that on many levels. See yourself as that person who's hungry and poor and frustrated and maybe angry at his own government or another government. Angry at the people causing him pain and suffering. But I just don't shake that, you know, at all from... There is no justification for blowing up innocent people in a, you know, anywhere. Yeah, the question, I suppose, on one point you have to ask yourself is, you know, how much are you really doing to make it a better world? Are you really holding up your end, you who've got all the blessings? Shooting looters? Do you have to watch the power of police? Like any profession, some bad ones get in. There's no point in me trying to get in any way. Philosophical about it all, because... it would just sound trite. Down to just, you know, I like these cast iron fireplaces they have in these provincial parks with a little quarter grill on one end, and it's a big round steel thing about a foot and a half high with these holes, you know, in it so the air can flow through properly. But you get a beautiful view through the holes. It looks like you're looking at something. What I'm looking at now is some just red embers, and it's as if I'm staring into the distance at a planet, you know, another planet out there in space, from a different distance, you know, completely different view, which people, a sight people, will be seeing. Humans will leave the planet. But what kind of humans? And, the things, I guess I was bothered at the earlier that, you know, I mean, I just expressed it so terribly and so, perhaps wrongly, you know, I'm just angry at the people who are doing bad things, but needing to remind myself it's easy to do good things when you've had a good life. And maybe a lot of people need a lot more help. But how do you help? Francis is going to do something like that. That's wonderful. With his social work, he'll may work with prisoners and prisoners. It's not the right word. Can't even remember what he called them. It was not convicts. I'm talking about another word, but maybe people in the penal system. I don't know. Anyway, he would. He's a good man. He's a very good man. And a deep man. And I respect him and I like him. And I'm glad to have a friendship. And I've done my part to cultivate that friendship. But it's obviously, clearly a mutual two-way thing. I'm getting something out of it. He's getting something out of it. And that's the nature of a good friendship. I almost feel like another beer now, damn it. But, I mean, there's nothing keeping me up. There's nothing sending me to bed. Go to bed. Yeah, just gonna lie there, listen to some music. Yeah. And I just continue to sit. And I just can't see that distant planet anymore. I may put you to rest for a while, though. I think I've said my bit. Not sure what it was, but. It's almost a sense of arriving at an understanding. And I've been wanting that to happen. I've been really wanting that recently. And, you know, this could be it. This could be a turning point. I could be at a turning point. Like, it's a gradual. It's been a real, you know, a big elbow of a turn. It's been very slowly coming. But I think this is a marked note, a marked passage that I may have reached. And that's a good thing. It's so quiet, it's very hard to break the silence. It's 4:15 in the morning, around there anyway. I just woke up and I realized maybe it was that third cup of coffee I had at Tim Hortons in Port Hope. That was a mistake, although it had a shot of pumpkin spice flavoring and it was good. Anyway, I'm awake. It's very handy around this time. I figure, okay, if I'm awake now, I may as well have a pee. And it's just convenient to be able to, you know, at the foot of the bed, there's a toilet. It's a very comfy little toilet, too. Just have a pee and then a little foot pedal to flush it all away. But I do have to learn to empty my tanks. It is a two-man job. I'm going to need some help. I'm thinking. My brother would be the perfect person. He would know what to do, so I don't know if I'll have the nerve to ask him this weekend or not, but it'd be a great thing. Anyway, it's I just thought I'd chat a little. What I'm really going to do is go back to listening to Ted Rekin now. Last night, before bed, I walked down to the water and looked up at the stars. It was quite beautiful, quite wonderful. It is a nice little park, you know, even though it is so close to the highway. Once you're in the road trick, you can't hear anything. But I put on the earbuds as I watched the last log, the last few embers just die. It was nice sitting there. And I put on a few podcasts I had by Ted. Now, Ted was at the very first PAB in Kingston. Ted, I think, is a professor. He's living on Vancouver Island, and he's done a number of shows way back in the early days of just using binaural mics, doing soundscapes, sound tours, repairing things. Just sort of experimenting with the whole form. A very bright guy and
somebody you want to listen to. It really is. Well, he's got the most amazing theme for the introduction to his show. Now, I mean, he was one of the earlier podcasters, and one who had recognition. Like, wow, this one. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it now. Was it the Island Podcast? I'm not sure. I'll get back to you on that. I'll post a link. But it was wonderful. He did an episode, Composting History. And it began with him shredding this paper into a composter. What the hell is this about? And then it goes back to talk about what that paper contained. And this one happened to be 1969. Was it the Lunar 12 landing? Or Apollo 12? I don't even remember that one. This came 4 months after Neil Armstrong, the first man landing on the moon. It was completely blocked from my mind that there was a second one 4 months later, also containing two astronauts who landed on the moon. And, like, it's just something I couldn't have told you. You know, how long between the moon landings? 4 months? Wow. But the topic was so interesting. He started off, he said, sometimes there are moments of creativity that are just seemingly out of the blue, big inspirations. But what's really interesting is evolutionary creativity. I don't know if that's the exact term he used. But things sort of follow one on top of the other. And he gave the example of the printing press. And it was beautifully told. And really well worth listening to. I guess that's the only message I want to get out here. Taking you back. And then he played two songs that were just perfect for the music. So a high quality, consistently good podcast. Somebody to go back to Ted Regan, I think the Island Podcast. But you can find him. I think it's R-E-I-C-K. And anyway, there'll be a link on the Dixon James podcast. All right. So that's my news spot from 4:30 in the morning. Now I'm going to go and listen to a little more of Ted. So from the darkness, from the quiet of the night, bye-bye.
Good morning. You'll hear other voices in the distance. I'd say it was nice, a spot I've got. It is. I think it's one of the best in the park. For a place with service or hookups, anyway. There was nobody across from me. It's just the lake. And then suddenly, there are maybe 50 kids looking like high school age, playing games, but it's on. It's not bothering me at all. I'm just quite happy to see their energy and to. They've got organizers planning games for them, so I don't know what sort of course they're here for. And I guess that there's probably a group campsite or something because suddenly they all appeared, all at once. And that's just fine. I've got my first coffee going. There's a nice little ritual to making the coffee. I think I mentioned that in an episode or two back when I was camping. Just follow these steps. And I know there can be a simplicity, just a way to do things. And it's easier. Well, when you're camping, you sort of have to. You're not running around here, there, checking this, changing the TV channel, opening the fridge. You know what you need to do, and you do it in an efficient way. It just takes a while. So my making my coffee is like that. And it will be the same when I toast. I've got some fabulous bagels loaded with goodies. And there's a ritual when I take out the toaster oven because it'll set off. Once things start smoking, it'll set off the alarm. And you've got to
have the fan going and the door open, and then it works well. Anyway, it's pleasant. I didn't wake up again until about 8:45. It's so comfortable sleeping. I love sleeping in a sleeping bag. And, of course, it's, you know, you can have it open, have your legs out, you can be on top of it. It was warm enough. I'm back now. There's a bit of a breeze coming off the lake, which is lovely. And I'm just in a t-shirt, and again, it's perfect, perfect, perfect temperature. Fine day. So you just want to enjoy these things, the little things. Last night, when I was listening, I went back and listened to more of Ted Rakin. And enjoyed it. He's got a great voice. And it's a very nice connection to the early days of, because I'd listened to him, and he was like, oh, there's somebody on the West Coast. And it is a great little intro and outro for his show. It is Island Podcasting. And it's around the same time of Chubb Creek being at their peak. The early days, there is a little time when there's just these neat connections of these neat discoveries, and they're just not so many, you know. So you would find them. People would listen to the same one. Anyway, now it is a multi-channel universe, and of course, podcasts absolutely everywhere. So it's very hard. But I'm very comfortable in my little semi-contained circle, and it's just nice to have Ted back in that. With his podcasts. There was a quote he made last night that Tony Bennett made in reference to Amy Winehouse, who dying too young. And it was, if you live long enough, life teaches you how to live. And that's fabulous. And I get that. I'm doing that. I have lived long enough. These little things that you just do. The building the fire, the seating arrangement, little things, they are important, I guess. You find a way to do them or to achieve them, and you feel good about it. So, anyway, I probably spoiled that little quote. If you live long enough, life teaches you how to live. Chew that one over. Anyway, he played a podcast, another one. I listened to this Composting History. A very interesting concept, and I highly recommend you go back. And this one started off with the Beatles song, A Day in the Life. And of course, I was still a little high, had the earbuds in, stereo. And wow, what a song. Incredible. And then, of course, the story from what he's done. Gosh, should I give it all away? He's got a collection of newspapers he's got to get rid of. So he's deciding he'll maybe keep the headline, the important thing. Ooh, there's a mosquito, sorry. Got it. Keep the headline, the front page, but doesn't have to keep the entire newspaper. He was buying newspapers for every time there was a world news event. And the one from last time was December 9th, the newspaper, December 9th, 1980, when the morning after John Lennon was shot and killed. And it was so sad. Somebody in New York City had recorded. Gosh, here's me stealing all of Ted's show, but you'll go back and listen to the real thing. I'm just talking about it. Somebody had recorded radio stations in New York right after the news had broken that John had been killed. And you just turn the dial and you get the squelch going from one station to another. And you'd be hearing all these random Beatles songs. And then somebody talking about it. And somebody put forward the very first day. The news media should make a deal that nobody should ever speak that man's name. And of course the announcer said, I think that's a great idea, but that is never going to happen. I won't say it. I was upset, of course, one of the show's 60 Minutes, or one of them, that even maybe it might even be Barbara Walters, gave him an interview. Just had to do it, and tried to justify it. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Anyway, after hearing it, I was so sad. Like, I miss John so much. Honestly, of anybody, any public figure who's died, John is the one. John is the one that means something to me. Of course, I know where I was when Kennedy was assassinated, but that was a president. That's American politics. John was taken from me. So I went back afterwards when it finished, and I have a collection on my iPhone of the Beatles Top 100, according to Rolling Stone magazine, and just put that on shuffle. And I ended with, oh my God, I won't even remember. It was a perfect ending song. And, oh, Jai Guru Dave, I think. It's kind of spiritual, and I just know, okay, stop it here, and I go to sleep. So that was 4:30 this morning. Now it is 10 o'clock. And I won't be getting out of here till after 12, I'm sure. It's only an hour and a half to the next campsite. Not theoretically. You're not supposed to move in till 2. I mean, they're available to you, but you're allowed to stay until 2. So if somebody had that site, you know what I mean. I'm not in any rush to get to Rideau River. Very comfortable here. So, anyway, I just wanted that introduction. Oh, yeah, the books that I bought with me. I bought two books with me. Now, one was just arrived in the mail a couple of days ago from my friend Cliff, the Nova Scotia guy, who I often visit, called The View from Delusion Road, A Settler's Story by Paul Colville. Nova Scotia's Decade of Decision, 1860 to 1870. And it's just the story of a couple, a farming couple. He's also a blacksmith, but just their daily lives. Of what it was like back then between 1860 and 1870. How hard these people worked. Oh my gosh. But what's interesting is the whole story is taking place in Port George, which is just down the hill from where the Nova Scotia guy, my friend, since high school, where he lives. So this is just local history, the names of the places and so on, the local politics. It's very interesting, very simple story, you know, it's not something you're going to find on a bestseller list. But it's good. Real history, and it makes me think of my own pioneers, and makes me think of how bloody easy anybody living in modern-day Canada, including people who come here as new Canadians, who are, maybe they'd be better off and happier if they were given a piece of land and had to chop down the trees and build a house and help your neighbors out and farm and grow and trade than living in the city on welfare. I don't know. Anyway, the other book is called Beat Writers at Work. I just grabbed it from my shelf. I always do a tour of each floor of the house before I go on these trips to see, is there anything I will be leaving behind by mistake? This is the Paris Reviews, The Beat Writers at Work. Picture of Allen Ginsberg is a very young man, short hair on the cover. And I just opened to the section on the back of Gary Snyder, who is kind of a special guy. Got to be dead by now. He's born in 1930, but I don't remember any reading about that. He grew up on a farm, and while attending Reed College, he held jobs as a logger, seaman, and fire lookout for the U.S. Forestry Service. In 1951, he graduated. That means he's only 21, with degrees in literature and anthropology. After a series of linguistic studies at Indiana University, transferred to the University of California at Berkeley to study Oriental languages. There he became actively involved in the burgeoning West Coast poetry scene. Now, Gary Snyder is a guy, of course, who was the expert, who he shows up in Kerouac's books, especially the Dharma Bums, as their inspiration, the guy who taught the Beats about Zen Buddhism and so on. In the summer of 1955, Snyder worked on a trail crew in Yosemite National Park and began to write the first poems he felt were really, truly his. At Sixth Gallery Reading in San Francisco, the famous Sixth Gallery Reading, he debuted his poem, A Berry Feast. inspiring an interest in Zen Buddhism that became a hallmark of beat writing. In 1956, so we're talking 50s, folks, he left the United States for what was to become a 12-year residence abroad, spent largely in Japan. In Kyoto, he pursued an intensive Zen Buddhist practice. During this period, he also worked in the engine room of a tanker traveling around the Pacific Rim, and then spent 6 months in India with Allen Ginsberg. Together, they had a notable discussion of hallucinogens with the Dalai Lama. In 1959, his first book of poetry, Rip Rap, was published in Japan, followed by etc., etc. So he returned to Japan, or to the United States in 1969 to build a house in the foothills of the northern Sierra Nevada, where he lives today. He's taught at the University of California. So a pretty interesting guy. The real thing, I mean, a lot of, you know, just the word beatnik was used by the media to tease, to make fun of these people, and many were probably just as shallow as many of the hippies were, the followers, but the true authentic ones, the Kerouac, the Ginsberg, the William Burroughs, the leaders and others around them and some of the women were the real thing. There was only a handful, but Gary Snyder was really central to that group. So, I don't know, that's just the book I grabbed. But it keeps coming back. I keep talking about this presentation I'd love to do for my church, of all places. I wanted to do it at the college, but of course nobody would ever be interested. From the Beats to the Beatles, and just make that connection. It's probably already been done if I Googled it, but I think I've got enough information of both and the resources, and I could do it even as a PowerPoint presentation with, you know, audio and video and readings and such. You know, use the PowerPoint for a framework for the thing to guide me through. But I really would love to do that in a 4-part series. But again, it is one of those things that, yeah, you're saying that. Are you doing it? But these things percolate. They digest. And this came to me in the shower Thursday morning just before I left to come here. I was thinking, you know, that idea of the beat, because I was disturbed at how many people don't understand marijuana, and you know, this could tie in. That would be part of it. Drugs would certainly be part of the talk. And certainly LSD and the influence it had on the Beatles' music. But I found it coincidental that the night before I had that thought in the shower, I had randomly sort of picked up this book and said, no, that's the one I got to bring with me back to sort of a beat refresher. Anyway, enough of that. I'm dribbling on. We've gone on 15 minutes. That's far too long for one stretch with really... Well, no, I gave you content. Come on. But my coffee's getting cold, and I'm ready for that wonderful bagel. So signing off, and I'll be back a little bit later. All for now. Alrighty. It's 5:30 Friday afternoon in September. Let's see. Monday was 11th, so you know, do the math. I'm in Rideau Park, Rideau River Provincial Campground. I have certainly one of the better sites, which is nice, right? On the water, and just the only troublesome is there were a lot of bloody mosquitoes around. They seem to have died off. I don't know. I lit a fire around 5, hoping that might help. The smoke might drive them off, but they've been bad this year. And they're very unpleasant. I mean, I'm not being swarmed, but just one making that irritating noise in your ear makes you feel the need to swat. I just dozed off, sitting here in my chair in front of the fire, listening to myself. I was listening to what I said yesterday on the recording that you would have heard before this, I guess. And it put me to sleep. Which is not a bad thing.
I'm drinking my first beer of the day. It's a Cameron's Brewing, and I like it because I like the bar. Is it the Cameron House? Yeah, I believe that's their beer, Oakville. This is an Amber, a red ale. Amber, they call it. A nice picture of a black bear. It won't be my last beer, you know. I don't buy myself. I don't get drunk or anything. There's no point. In fact, I have 3 bottles of wine with me, and I might not open any of them. Very good chance I won't open any. So this is all good. Scaling back is also good. Now, if I had drinking company, if I was sitting with Barnacle Bill, we'd be knocking back a lot more drinks. But Barnacle Bill's a drinker. Still, he'll be the first to admit it. And he and I were drinking buddies. You know, drink for drink, basically. But I've tapered off. I've considerably. He's not going to get roaring drunk, but, you know, he'll have a drink. And if he runs out, he'll walk up the hill and get some more. So, yeah, anyway, I had what was left, just a little less than half a cookie. Had that around 5-2, maybe. And I think it's probably having the desired effect. Kind of mellowed out. I was not thrilled when I first came here. The spot I was at, Charbert Lake, was actually quite nice, and it was very quiet, and I was on my own. And when I came here to a much bigger park, a busier place, it took a while to sort of get comfortable again. Then I found out nobody's showing up Friday night. People are going to come Saturday, and, well, it's okay. I wanted the time. Anyway, but I would like, I think I would have liked company, but actually, to be quite honest, I'll be quite fine without company. Just, God damn, I farted. The company would not appreciate that. They do have nice washrooms and showers, and it's a decent park. Got the fire started, and I'll cook. I'm going to cook some salmon over later. That'll be a first. Got the grill out. And, got some leftover tiny little potatoes. I didn't finish with supper Wednesday, so I'll stick those in and warm them up, too, over the fire. I got a big silver barbecue, propane barbecue, but no point in using it. I like cooking over the grill. Got the microwave, got the gas burner. Just hasn't called for yet. I think if I had a gathering and we were hoping to do a whole lot, well, sure, you know, a lot of cooking, but no need for it now, and that's fine. I'm enjoying just sort of keeping it simple. I haven't even put the awning out. There's really no purpose. There's no need. It's nice. It looks nice. It's like staking out a home. But I'm not sitting under it. I'm sitting by the fire, and it's not going to rain. If it was any sign of rain, I'd have the awning out, of course. But with skies like these, just leave the chairs sitting by the fire for the night. They're fine. Just make sure you bring in all your food and scraps, and even the cooking grill, because it really... I put it in the... back of the road track, and when I was lying there, my head was probably just about 10 inches from it, and you could really smell the lamb chops. Like, it was, that's a meat smell. And I don't think there are any bears in this area, but there would certainly be something that would attract animals. Any animal with a good sense of smell, they're going to pick up that, because it was really strong inside the road track. So, in other words, I did the right thing bringing it in and not leaving it out. Brian wanted to know if I wanted a beer tonight. I said, sure. If I was up for a beer tonight, I said, sure I am. But you'd have to drive to Reno River, just outside, 5 kilometers outside Kempville, where my niece and nephew and brother and sister-in-law live. Anyway, not much more to say. Just going to
choose carefully my next beer. I think I bought two cider just to compare them. I don't know if I'll have any cider either. I think I'll be going back with a lot of booze. And that's good. And, you know, simplify it. I'm pretty orderly. It's the way you have to be. Something like this. Just everything in the same place. You know, my bag with my recorder and the iPad, everything. That's in its own bag on the front seat, and the wallet here, and the keys there, and the iPod charging here, and your bag with your toiletries and your toothbrush, that's going to go here, and everything has a place, and they all use the same place. It's like when I traveled Europe in 1969, I had that Canadian lumberjack, the red plaid jacket that identified you as a Canadian. Canada crest, a nice flag, I guess my mother sewed on for me on the front. And, yeah, a lot of pockets and the same things I mentioned, that switchblade going on that inside pocket that you could reach in with your right hand and pull it out when you need. Anyway, that little bit of being solitary, you know, and looking out for yourself. Yeah, the wood's growing nicely now. It's just about time to put on another piece to, good. I was a little worried. I didn't have any kindling, but I had a lot of cardboard I brought with me, which was kind of saved the day. So, that's all. I'm going to, ride out this cookie and tend to the fire, and then later on cook myself a nice supper, a nice piece of salmon. That's the other thing about it, is just, you know, what do you want to bring each trip? What food supplies do you want to bring? And I'm getting better at that, too. Things that I want. This is the first time I brought all those little crab sticks. You know, it's a good snack. And then they had Korean seasoned seaweed. You know, the dried things, a little package, plastic package. You got about eight or so. Came three packages together. Oh, that's wonderful. I'll get that. And with the jar of mayonnaise. And so you know, dip the little, cut the little, these pollock-like imitation crab things. Cut them up. Dip them in mayonnaise, wrap them in the seaweed, and pop them in your mouth, and they're very tasty. Could have added shoyu, but didn't really need it. Mayonnaise on its own is good enough. Anyway, that's all part of it. So, I didn't have a toke. I had just that cookie, but it's like the Pillsbury dough, you know, it's rising. All right. Catch you later.
I guess it's something in my brain. I need whiskey to ease the pain. But it's early in the morning, and I'm feeling bad again. But if you ever love me, you'll go easy on me now. Fix me up a cup of coffee, and in a while I'll come around. I think I'll spend the dog food money, but it'll love me just the same. And if you really love me, baby, help me scrape the mucus off my brain.
shame when morning hurts. I've seen bad and I've seen worse. It's the nature of my being. I took some money from your purse. And that Frenchman loves to party, and I know he's not to blame. But the way you're looking at me, baby, I just can't help but feel ashamed. I think I spent the dog food money, but he'll love me just the same. And if you really love me, baby, help me scrape the mucus off my brain. And if you really love me, baby, help me scrape the mucus off my brain.